Very recent federal budget has everyone's attention at the moment, with many breakdowns coming out on what it means for businesses, services and various social and economic classes. But what ramifications will the budget have on South Australia, and what cues will the new Liberal government take when it comes time to drop theirs? Joining us now is state political analyst Dr. Rob Manwaring from Flinders University. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, Tom.
So first of all, what have we confirmed that this latest budget will do for South Australia?
There's a couple of things to kind of say about the overall impact of federal budget. Some of it is that whatever benefits or lack of benefits that take place within the budget that happen in South Australia will happen across the nation. So to some extent, some of the same groups that have done well out of the budget and some of the groups who have not done particularly well out of the budget, that kind of plays out as well in South Australia. And then there is some specific kind of funding. So it's worth just saying something first then about some of the so-called winners and losers. This was a budget for older people, is the way it's been sort of sold, the oldies budget. And one of the things to say there is that might disproportionately help South Australia. So compared to the rest of the nation, we have a slightly older state. We tend to have slightly more kind of older people. And there was a really interesting demographic report a couple of years ago, I think based from the University of Adelaide, talking about particularly one of the fastest growing groups is what the group called the old. That's basically people who are over 75. So South Australia has quite a lot of disproportionately more older people. So all of the measures in the budget around increasing aged care places and some of the pension reforms and other things there will really benefit South Australians or that strata of South Australians disproportionately compared to some of the other states because we're an older state. And then the flip side of that, I would say, is that the so-called the losers in the budget, there's very little in this budget for young people. And this is kind of an interesting kind of set of issues going on there. So particularly for young people unemployed, parts of South Australia, if I'm right, is got some of the highest levels of youth unemployment across the nation. Places like Playford, some of the youth unemployment rate there really high. So things like the decision not to increase New Start despite that big campaign will, in one sense, that does very little there. And the other thing you would say is there seems to be very little in there about kind of housing, particularly getting young people onto the housing market or enabling them to do that. So there's very little in this budget for young people. And because we have a sort of disproportionately high levels of youth unemployment, and also I think Stephen Marshall has talked consistently over the years, he's worried about young people leaving the state, then the worry is then that this budget does very little for South Australia, and that has like an additional impact than it would compared to, say, Victoria or New South Wales.
Looking at the improvements to aged care in the budget, do you think the Oakden nursing home scandal had any impact on that?
Look, I don't think there's been specific kind of developments that have really kind of changed it. I think the federal budget is aiming to do a number of things, not least it's aiming to win the Liberals' re-election. And in one sense, there's a kind of an interesting dynamic, though, between having a Liberal government at the federal level and, of course, a Liberal government now at the state level. And there's some really interesting kind of dynamics and things taking place there. So some of the things that are worth kind of flagging are is that something to talk about is the GST formula. And this has been playing out for the last couple of months. So basically, GST, the Goods and Service Tax, is basically one of the main mechanisms that federal money is redistributed to the states and territories. Now, under the kind of formula, there's this thing called horizontal fiscal equalization. So basically, it means that the point of the GST is that the poorer states get a slightly bigger share of the GST. And what we know from the budget is that for every dollar of GST, South Australia used to get $1.43, and that's gone up slightly to $1.47. So what that means is that something like there's an additional $500 million in revenue to South Australia because the GST kind of form has gone up. But there is debate about changing the formula, and I think that both Rob Lucas and the Premier have kind of made strong indications that they would fight any kind of decision to kind of rein back the amount of GST revenue that takes place. So there's something going on there. The other thing I thought was worth flagging is that there was infrastructure was a big part of the budget, and there's some flow-on effects there. And there were two sets of funds there I thought were really interesting. One is that there's this new urban congestion fund. So the basically the federal Liberal government, they want to get the country moving in their cars, sorting out congestion spots, and they've got extra money. And so they're saying, come and get this money. We want to kind of help you, kind of this. And particularly the Liberal government here, particularly regional roads, is a real issue. So there's an opportunity to use that. And similarly, there's this new 21st century medical budget kind of fund to kind of escalate. And the point is that these two funds could enable South Australia to take advantage of them. If the Liberal Marshall government are nimble, they're quick, these are opportunities to really draw down some kind of extra money, particularly in terms of road infrastructure and also about health and the health precincts that they're flagging. One of the really interesting things that Mike Rann said when he was Premier is that to take advantage of these kind of funds, these opportunities, when you have to have kind of job-ready infrastructure bids ready to go. And the question is for the Liberal state government here is, have they got a clear sense of what they want built, the infrastructure they want built? Because if there aren't things ready to go, you know, with the designs, the plans, you know, pretty much off the press, then in one sense they could put these bids in. The federal government will say, well, look, they're not quite ready yet. You'll have to wait for kind of extra funding. So state governments have to be nimble to kind of put in these kind of bids and questions. So there's an opportunity here for the state to say, look, come and get this extra money. But the question is, are they up to the challenge and can they do it?
We assumed that they're working... the state and federal government were working a bit closer together with plans for improved infrastructure funding on the north-south corridor, but from what we've seen now, that funding's actually a lot drier than we expected. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, look, you're quite right. Is that there's two sets of elements there. One is, of course, federal Liberal governments haven't worked with a state Labor government for a number of years, so we haven't really seen this dynamic kind of really play out. And for Stephen Marshall, it works sort of two ways. So on the one hand, if he can forge a close working relationship with Scott Morrison and the Prime Minister to say, look, South Australia's got particular needs, then if he can build a strong relationship there, then in one sense that can then help facilitate additional funding and bring it in. However, and there are other times, particularly when state governments need to show that they're strong and stand up against a federal government, and particularly Rob Lucas and his saber-rattling around GST and any kind of climb back down in terms of the formula there, shows the kind of state that kind of also needs to stand up against the federal government, because Stephen Marshall's government won't want to see it. They're just kind of like patsies or pets of the federal Liberal government. So there's that dynamic kind of works sort of two ways. And in terms of infrastructure, you're quite right. Money did come and get flagged, particularly for the kind of north-south corridor. That was a big part of it. There's also extra money for the electrification of the Gawler line, which I think I've been hearing about pretty much every year for the last however many years. And that may eventually happen one day. But if you look at the kind of detail about when the money's coming, some of it doesn't actually come for the next 3 or 4 years in terms of the kind of flow-on effects. So, yes, South Australia did do relatively well in terms of infrastructure, but some of that money won't be coming for a few years yet. And so, particularly short-term kind of political gain, we're not going to see a huge amount of difference in the kind of in the very short term in terms of what that money is going to mean.
I'm speaking of our state political analyst, Dr. Robert Manwaring. Now, the citizenship saga has reared its ugly head yet again, forcing the resignation of SA Member for Mayo, Rebecca Sharkey. What led to this turn of events?
Well, this was all hinged upon the decision by the High Court reviewing the case of Katie Gallagher. And in terms of she was born in the UK, she thought she'd registered her renunciation papers in time. What's kind of clear is the High Court have taken a very, very strict interpretation of Section 44. So that's the part of the Constitution which talks about eligibility to run for federal parliament. And you have to be clearly not hold citizenship or rights and privileges of another country. They've taken a very tough line on that. And even though Rebecca Sharkey was born overseas, as I understand it, even though her case is slightly different and she says that she's in a different situation, this has triggered a whole series of resignations, particularly a number of Labour MPs yesterday in the federal parliament, and Rebecca Sharkey has indicated she's going to resign but will recontest the seat of Mayo in a by-election. So this is a really what's kind of triggered this is this latest wave of citizenship kind of scandals and problems. This is is a really interesting opportunity. So for one thing, the Liberals federally will see this as an opportunity to reclaim the seat. So Mayo used to be the seat of Jamie Briggs. He was a minister. It's been a long-standing Liberal seat. Alexander Downer, the former leader of the Liberal Party, years ago used to hold on to it for many, many years. And they would see this as a chance to kind of shore up their very thin majority and retake this. And a lot of the narrative around this is that the Xenophon team didn't do very well at the state election. And, of course, they didn't in terms of overall seats. They didn't win any seats in the lower house. They didn't take some of their target seats like kind of Mawson. But what you would say is that if you step back a little bit, the SA Best Vote, or the Centre Alliance, is the banner that Rebecca Sharkey's running under, vote is still pretty strong in certain areas. And you wouldn't necessarily kind of rule out the Liberals just automatically retaking the seat of Mayo. So there's going to be a by-election there. The people of Mayo will get to go to the polls again. And it looks like Alexander Downer's daughter Georgina will be is likely to be given the nod as the Liberal candidate there. And the Liberals will be hoping that they can regain that kind of seat. And of course, Nick Xenophon and his team will be hoping this will be a way of trying to keep their hopes alive and keeping having a kind of national presence.